This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Working hard for a long time.
I'm
hoping she can make it.
She's awesome.
Yeah,
how about that woman? I mean, right?
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
She talked about how, like, she had 3 weeks of shooting just for one scene. How much rehearsal did you have for, obviously, a much more...
Yeah. 3 weeks. We all had the same amount of rehearsal time. Yeah, it was a pretty intense rehearsal process for me. So,
did you have the same Meryl terror before you started the movie that the title
of it? I did in the sense, only in the sense that I wanted to be a good scene partner for Meryl. I wasn't scared of her. I was scared of myself. I wanted to make sure that I was bringing, you know, you want to be good for Meryl, you know, and for Philip. You know, these are two people that I respect greatly, and you just want to, you want to be 100% for them and be present.
What was your backstory on your character? Because, you know, she's obviously the youngest of the nuns in this group. Why is she there? Was she just like an orphan or maybe undecided?
No.
Well, I mean, I thought she might have like grown up.
I love that. I should have used that.
I mean, did she just kind of grow up in the church and you know, I don't know. I mean, what were your ideas about her?
Well, I'm not going to give it away.
Okay.
I'm not going to give it away, but I will tell you that we had wonderful access to nuns that joined at that time, and that would have been Sister James's age. Sister James was actually there. Sister Peggy was our technical advisor, and that was John Patrick Chanley's first grade teacher, who was a Sister of Charity and wore the bonnet. So I had access to a number of the sisters who really gave me a lot of information about the choices that were available at the time, why they chose, how their family reacted, and it really, really helped me understand some things. And one of the things, I think, when watching the film, because John Patrick Chanley, like, the writing is just so clean, you don't know all the rules. I mean, my character is not supposed to talk back. My character is not supposed to question. My character is supposed to listen. And, you know, you have a vow of silence in the morning that lasts until after the first mass. I mean, this is not, you know, you don't get together and, like, question your faith and question the priest. I mean, this is huge, and it's completely inappropriate. And it's very difficult for her, and yet she can't help but wrestle with these ideas. And also, I'll keep going. Do you guys have any questions? Because I'll take up the whole time talking about it. Because it's fascinating. Things I didn't realize that you weren't allowed to leave. And you weren't allowed to leave by yourself. Like, if you had a doctor's appointment, two of them went together. If somebody was sick in your family, you weren't allowed to leave. So, you know, when my character says, I can't leave my class, it's not like, I can't leave my class. It's like, no, I really can't leave my class. I'm not allowed to leave because my brother's sick. You know that. And so there's such a great sense of isolation and being sort of trapped in this situation and in this world for her through the story. Okay, I'm done. For the most part.
Had you ever seen Doubt as a play?
Yes, I had. And I really loved it. I remembered it, but I remembered being moved by it, and I remember talking about it. But it was kind of like that gift of not really remembering the performances exactly. So I was glad that I didn't. Although I probably could have stolen some things from Heather. She's really good.
Can you talk about how you actually came to the project? Like, was it a phone call, or you reached? Because you've been in a lot of successful films recently. Have you reached that point where you're no longer auditioning and that it's sort of being offered to you? And
it's different with every project. With this project, I sort of chased it. I did not audition, but I did meet with John Patrick Chanley. Poor Emily. I talk about her all the time. Emily Blunt. I was working with her, and she brought the idea to me. She had read the script. I had not read the script, and she said, I know what you're doing next. You're doing Doubt, very enthusiastically. And I read it, and I was just like, you're right, I really want to do this. And I'm like, you don't want to do it? She's like, oh, I'm not right for that. I go, no. She's like, but you. So it was actually Emily who brought the idea to me.
And when you heard about it, was anyone attached to it yet, or did you?
Someone had been offered the part. That did not deter me. just because it's very common in our industry for people to come in and out of projects based on their availability and personal reasons and whatever. So I just wanted to put my name in the hat, so I kind of pursued it.
Well, I was curious if also if Philip and Merrill had been attached when you heard about the project. Or
yes, they were attached.
So when you hear that they're attached, is that one of those, you know, a little extra effort to try to get on?
I mean, sure. I mean, that would be if you get presented with an opportunity to work on a Pulitzer Prize-winning piece with Merrill and Philip and John Patrick Shanley, the writer. That sounds like a pretty, you know, undeniable opportunity.
Is there also a choice there that you can make in order to be able to kind of move away from a potential stereotype, like some of the films, certainly one of the films that you've done?
I'm not that plotted. I wish I probably should be. I tend to respond to characters. I respond to material, and I like to. The actors that I admire sort of defy genres. They're not sort of assigned to any one genre. So, of course, that's always been something in the back of my head that I don't want to only do this or only do that. So I work on. You know, keeping myself flexible in between genres.
How did you feel to wear the habit?
Great. I loved it. I know. You probably don't believe I did, but I loved it. It was it lacked all vanity, and it was very comfortable, and I didn't have to worry about, you know, my gut. Just eat whatever I wanted. It was great. It was like doing Junebug again.
Did you shoot Julie and Julia yet with Merrill, or is that coming up?
Yes. We shot it directly after Doubt. I went straight into it.
And how different was it? And was there a period of adjustment of getting into different roles and playing that with her?
Well, we don't actually have any scenes together in it. So there was a period of adjustment, Justin, you know, coming from a very sort of quiet, examining role. To somebody who's like sort of grouchy and confused and you know, kind of just modern, you know, in that sense. There's always a period of adjustment when you're going from project to project, but you know, we had rehearsal time on that as well, so I was grateful for that.
So Viola was talking about how intimidated she was to work with Merrill beforehand. I'm not sure if you were intimidated by Merrill, but have you found yourself intimidated by other peers working with them still, even after all the success you've had?
Every time. I mean, you go into a project with such, you know, you don't know these people. you don't know what it's going to be like. And I've been really fortunate because everybody's been fantastic and generous and open and welcoming. And I've never felt like an outsider on sets with Tom Hanks or with Meryl Streep. I mean, I think there's a reason these people are where they are, and that's because they're pros. And they're going to, you know, they make sure you're doing your best work by doing their best work. And, yeah, I mean, there's definitely an intimidation factor that you put on yourself. It's not them that does it. But I think Viola probably agrees with that. You really build it up in your head. Like, oh, God. Meryl Streep, she's not going to like me. I want Meryl to like me. You know.
I think that's sort of what she said.
Yeah, you do. It's Meryl Streep. Everybody wants Meryl to like them. You know, she's Meryl. And I already know Philip doesn't like me, so I'm okay with that. I'm kidding. You can ask him about that. No. Philip's awesome. I love Philip.
Enchanted did incredibly well worldwide, and since then there's always been talk about them trying to make a sequel to that. So have you heard anything about that? Is that something you'd be interested in?
Well, I've heard about it. There's nothing in place yet. There's not a script, so... I'm always someone who makes the decision based on the script, so I'm excited to see a script. I'd be open to it. I had a great time working on it, and I love the character, so sure, I'd be open to it.
It's so weird that a movie does that well, and they haven't started the script on Monday morning the weekend after.
I think they were surprised. I mean, they're like, oh, people like the movie, people love it. I think Disney was surprised. I hate to say that, because they were really supportive, but I'm not sure they knew that it was...
Big numbers.
Yeah, they knew they had something sweet and special, right. And they were very respectful of it, but I think it I think it surprised them.
So what are you... I know that in February and March of next year, there's a ton of projects getting ready to go before the cameras. Have you already thought about what you're going to be doing next?
Yeah, I have some stuff in development, and I'm playing around with ideas and reading scripts, but nothing is slated yet.
How do kids react to you now after Enchanted? I mean, do they recognize you?
Their parents recognize me. And then the parents say, guess who that is? And the kid goes, I don't know. And then I'm like, oh, I better put on the voice, because they look at me, you know, in my sweats in the hotel elevator. I just come back from working out, and I'm like, don't tell them. You'll ruin the fantasy for them. So I can't tell you how many times I've had to explain to the little girls that I'm in disguise. And they're like, oh, okay. Yes, I do, because I'm telling you, there was a 3-year-old, I thought I'd ruined her life.
Oh, no.
She looked at me, and she's like, you're not Giselle. I was like, I come here. I was like, oh. In the airport, I was like, I had to, because, I mean, really, it was like her entire fantasy world had been shattered, and I'm like, oh, no, I can't be responsible for her loss of faith and belief. So I told her that I was in disguise, so Narissa couldn't find me. Oh. And I spoke in the Giselle voice, which I can't do because I'm kind of working, getting rid of a cold. So, but.
I
can't help it. They're so cute. And when they look disappointed, I'm just like, oh, I know. I don't look good without mascara. I agree with you. I 100% agree. I do look a little scary.
Where do you think your character is at the end of this movie with her fate? Because obviously we know Meryl's... Sister Aloysius has kind of gone through... She's obviously going through now this doubt of her fate. And I'm just wondering, for your character, do you think she is also kind of having some doubts about her choice and her fate itself?
No. I believe that she has changed, but her faith and compassion remains intact. And I think that's what I found so beautiful about her, is that she's a little smarter about people, but God is the same to her. And her faith is the same. But I think she definitely is a little older and a little wiser. And I think she's, at the end, she's ready to start thinking for herself. I think she's allowed herself to be influenced, and she recognizes that, both by Father Flynn and by Sister Aloysius. And it's made her not know what to believe. Not about God, but about people. And it makes her not trust her instincts anymore about people. So when we leave her, I think when Sister Aloysius says, I have doubts, it is the biggest, it's the first time in the film when she is relieved. She sees herself. She finds the common ground with Sister Aloysius finally. And that allows her to be compassionate and to offer her a hand of compassion and of friendship. And I imagine they become very close friends. Mm-hmm. I have this whole, like, they become confidants and friends. And I imagine as Sister Aloysius gets old, it's Sister James that's finding the fork for her.
She'll be helping her down the hallway.
And helping her down the hallway. Yeah, I think her spirit of compassion is, that's one of the things I loved about this character.
You know, Viola was talking about how she had to shoot that one scene so many times.
Yes.
And I was curious, were there any particular scenes that, you know, John thought was... put the same sort of focus on for you, whether it was the scene at the end or any other scenes that you felt like you were doing everything you could to get it pitch perfect?
You know, he was very... We did do scenes. We didn't do them a ton of times. The only thing that took a lot of takes, and it was because it was at the end, we shot in block shooting in the office. So we'd shoot everything in one direction and then go to the side and then go, you know. So... And we were working on like a 10-minute scene, 13-minute scene, the one where with the Frosty the Snowman. Mm. We did my confrontation with Sister Aloysius at the end of, I think, 2 days after, at the end of it. It's like we're hour 12 and we've got to be done in like a half an hour. And we're and go. And I kept messing up the words. And I don't mess up words often, so I don't really have the skills to get myself back on track. So we did about 11 takes, and I have to tell you, the most brilliant thing about that was that Meryl Streep was on the other side of that camera, just serving it to me every time. Not an ounce of frustration, not an ounce of impatience, not no judgment, no like, oh, I would have had this one too, you know. None of that. She was so supportive and she so understood the challenges for an actor to sort of do their emotional high point at the end of 2 days without the build up. We just stepped into it. It wasn't as though we did the whole scene leading up to it. It was like, okay, now pick it up. You know, he's gone, and go. You know, it's a difficult thing. And so that for me is the one that took the longest, but I think that was my own personal. I wanted to get it word for word and perfect and right and, you know.
Thank you, guys.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.